Jesus deals with a case of adultery. From the confusion of the city, from eager crowds and treacherous rabbis, Jesus turned to the quiet of the olive groves, where he could be alone with God. But in the early morning he returned to the temple, and the people gathered about him. He was soon interrupted. A group of Pharisees and scribes approached, dragging a terror-stricken woman. With hard, eager voices they accused her of having violated the seventh commandment. Having pushed her into the presence of Jesus, they said, "Moses in the law commanded us, that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" They had seized this opportunity to secure his condemnation, thinking that whatever decision he might make, they would find occasion to accuse him. Should he acquit the woman, he might be charged with despising the law of Moses. Should he declare her worthy of death, he could be accused to the Romans as assuming authority that belonged only to them. Jesus looked on the scene, the trembling victim in her shame, the hard-faced dignitaries devoid of pity. He read the heart and knew the character and life history of every one. Giving no sign that he had heard their question, he stooped and began to write in the dust. Impatient at his delay and apparent indifference, the accusers drew nearer. But as their eyes fell on the pavement at his feet, their countenances changed. There, traced before them, were the guilty secrets of their own lives. The people saw the sudden change of expression, and pressed forward to discover what it was they were regarding with such astonishment and shame. With all their professions of reverence for the law, these rabbis were disregarding its provisions. It was the husband's duty to take action against the woman, and the guilty parties were to be punished equally. The action of the accusers was unauthorized. Jesus, however, met them on their own ground. The law specified that the witnesses in the case should be the first to cast a stone. Now rising and fixing his eyes on the plotting elders, Jesus said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And he continued writing on the ground. Now the accusers, defeated, their robe of pretended holiness torn from them, stood guilty and condemned in the presence of infinite purity. One by one, with bowed heads and downcast eyes, they stole away, leaving their victim with the pitying Savior. Jesus arose, and looking at the woman said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee, go, and sin no more." The woman had stood before Jesus, cowering with fear. His words, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone," had come to her as a death sentence. Silently she awaited her doom. In astonishment she saw her accusers depart speechless and confounded. Then those words of hope fell on her ear, "Neither do I condemn thee, go, and sin no more." Her heart was melted, and sobbing out her grateful love, with bitter tears she confessed her sins. This was to her the beginning of a life of purity and peace. In uplifting this fallen soul, Jesus performed a greater miracle than in healing the most grievous physical disease. He cured the spiritual malady which is unto death everlasting. This penitent woman became one of his most steadfast followers. Jesus does not palliate sin nor lessen the sense of guilt, but he seeks to save. The sinless one pities the weakness of the sinner and reaches a helping hand. It is not Christ's follower that leaves the erring unhindered to pursue their downward course. Men hate the sinner, while they love the sin. Christ hates the sin, but loves the sinner. This will be the spirit of all who follow him. Christian love is slow to censure, quick to discern penitence, ready to forgive, to encourage, to set the wanderer in the path of holiness.